heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
This is like one of those bad horror movies that you've been watching and, you know, you just can't seem to wake up from it. I had one of those the other night, in fact. You know, you wake up the next day and say, did that all really happen? And it's kind of sometimes very difficult to put it into context, quite honestly. But that is what we're living through right now with this whole COVID-19 coronavirus, China pandemic, whatever you want to call it, people. It is not only the pandemic of our lifetimes thus far, but I would suggest to you, bigger than that, it's the biggest scandal of our lifetimes thus far. And a lot of what we're going to uncover when we look back at this historically is that we messed up. We really messed up for a lot of reasons. And a lot of people are not seeing this in the light of day right at this very moment. But I assure you of this. When we look back at this moment in time, it will be very clear, and I promise you this, it'll be very black and white in our face, no matter how much they are spinning it right now. And it is a spin. Now listen, you know me enough to know I don't get into conspiracies and extremist politics. That is not my game here. Don't do it. But there are times when the facts are the facts and the data is the data and the truth is the truth. And it must be said, yeah? Today is one of those times, I think. This is an important conversation today. What I need you to do out there is pay attention. I need you to listen very carefully over the next hour. Very important stuff as we really uncover the magnitude of the lie. That's really COVID. The magnitude of the lie is what we're talking about here. But you have to pay attention. It's not the kind of thing you want to listen while you do something else, if you're building a house or shoveling the backyard, because you're going to get a lot of facts, a lot of data, a lot of numbers here to prove what we're talking about and how big of this lie that it is truly. And, you know, you can never wash the politics out of all of this because they're blatant and it's a messy situation and the politics are... they're embedded in this whole COVID fiasco, sadly. But I think if you're an open mind here and you've come to the program today to get a level of truth here, no matter where you fall in the political spectrum, I think the chances are you'll come away with a new concept or a new way of thinking, possibly, no matter who you support for president or whatever your politics may be. If you're an American and you really love this country and you really value your liberties, I think that's really got to be the connecting force for all of us, isn't it now? It really does have to be that, I think. You know, it's amazing what's happened in the last 6 months. We've seen the reversal of our economy and our lives turned upside down backwards, yeah? You couldn't have predicted this. If you said this last November, December, you could not have predicted this. Nobody could have seen this one coming, I don't think, unless you're a fortune teller or have some way to look in the future. It is so far out there. Nobody really is understanding the gravity of what we're going through. And the bigger problem is, people, we're still going through it. We're not able to get over to the other side of this thing. And mostly, and the biggest reason for that is we are in a general election year. We're in that cycle where America decides again, and we go through this every 4 years, people. We decide who's going to be the president, the future of the republic. And we decide who's going to run the House of Representatives and the United States Senate, right? And then all the local races that are so vitally important, I've been talking to you about in the last many, many days, how important they are, and how so many people take their eye off the ball locally. I hope we've all learned a lesson from that. I pray to God we have. But people, when you look at Seattle and Portland and Atlanta and Charleston, and it doesn't matter really what size the city is or the market, but you look at these and you see the lack of leadership in those cities and towns and communities. And I have to tell you, it should be a wake-up call to every American to understand the gravity of who you vote for on every level. There is a price to pay for all of this. And we are paying the price right now. Many of you out there scratch your head and you don't understand why they don't take control of a situation, why they don't do this or that, or what seems to be common sense to you and I is not common sense to the power seekers and the people who are putting their own careers first over the country. And that happens on all sides of the aisle, people. That's not just a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. It is an American problem, really and truly. And we're still learning those lessons growing up as a nation, aren't we now? You know, it's so important. This experiment is so unique. America, where, you know, our democracy is oftentimes, and too often actually, taken for granted in our representative government, you know. We don't always understand how special we are and what we have here. And truly, truly it is, you know. So there are a lot of theories on how we got here with COVID-19. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that people, everybody has an opinion you find today, right? Or a sarcastic remark to go about it. But really the underlying message of today, I think where I want to start with you in what you're going to learn here today is that we're in trouble. America is in trouble. As fabulous as our country is as wonderful as that shining city on a hill is, the country is in trouble. That's just not a political point or a conspiracy again. It's the fact, and I'm talking about the numbers. I'm talking about hard data now. Now, I've been talking for some time about our national debt, combined with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and where the numbers are in our nation. But people, it's not sustainable. We are headed right over a cliff. Other countries have gone over this cliff before. We've seen this before from other countries, not so much from ourselves, but that's how reckless it is right at this very moment. And while a lot of people may not think it matters, and they may think they're just waiting for the next stimulus check to come forward from the buffoons in Washington, it will matter. I'm telling you, people, I beg you to listen to me. It will matter. I know a lot of people have their hands out. Many people need it. I'm not saying they don't need it. I mean, times are tough. How can they not be when you pull the plug on the economy and it falls, plummets down like a bad roller coaster ride? How can it not be? Of course it's tough. You're seeing things dramatic all over. Business is going out. Things are happening. People are getting unplugged. I mean, it's a bad set of circumstances here. But more than that, the deficit and the numbers, right now you're seeing the, you know, the spending of Congress, you know, we are now talking in trillions of dollars like they used to be millions. I mean, there's a big difference, people, between $1 million and $1 trillion. Back in the day, we used to talk in millions, remember? Such and such a millions. Now, they talk in trillions. A couple trillion here, 3 trillion there, 4 trillion there, 6 trillion here. Here's another 10 trillion over here. Carry the one, pass over 3, minus 2, and add 10. And where are we at, right? That is the recklessness of politics here, out of control politics that are playing. And it's not their money, it's not their lives, and they're willing to gamble it all for the wrong reasons. It's hard to fathom sometimes how these people sleep at night, or what is their real motive? What kind of a nation, country are they trying to not only build right now, but leave. There'll be no country left to lead people. So listen, the politics of this virus, they're massive, they're wide, they're deep, and they're hiding the facts and the science from all of us. It's a shell game. If there ever was one, this is it today. It is a shell game. So let me start here, and I want to bring on Jim McKay. Jim is a political analyst with a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, pharmaceuticals. He's a great numbers guy. He understands numbers. He's been studying this COVID business for a while now. And Jim, in the in an interesting op-ed that we will be talking about on the program today, and that op-ed is entitled COVID-19, an American crisis, pandemic by the numbers. I want to start with the dramatic point of our country being bankrupt. And how bad is it if we take it from 35,000 feet, Jim? How bad is the position of where America finds itself right now today?
The position is we will be at a debt rate of $2 of debt for every dollar of the gross national product. We will be paying $1.5 trillion a year in interest. Just think about your MasterCard or Visa card when you get hit with the interest and you get hit with a bill for a couple thousand dollars. Every person in this country will owe about $125,000 towards the debt.
So you're talking about 1.5, you say, GDP.
1.5. Last year's payment of interest on the debt, not reducing the principal by one penny, was $650 billion, mm-hmm. the second biggest line item of non-entitlement spending.
Mm-hmm. What was the first, do you know?
The first biggest item, the Defense Department at about $720 billion.
That's it. So, the defense of the nation. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And most people don't realize that if you take out defense, mm-hmm. you take out the interest payment, 65% of the budget is entitlements. And that is huge. I mean, no other country in the world spends that type of money. That's if you look at a $4.5 trillion federal budget, that's huge. That's like $3 trillion on entitlements, $700 billion on defense, and $650 billion on interest on the debt.
So, Jim, not only are we going to be a bankrupt country, we already are there, but we're also a welfare country, a welfare nation. So what's happening is we're running America on the backs of the few for the rest. Is that it?
Well, we can't even do that. The money's running out. I mean, $30 trillion in debt is where we'll be easily at the end of this year. No problem. Mm-hmm. And if the Democrats get another $4 trillion, tack mm-hmm. that on top.
Right. That's right. Yeah, we're going to be it's going to be very much north of $30 trillion. And, you know, this is all going to go on record and all go as a black mark against the Trump administration. Do you remember with Barack Obama, we talked about all the times how he doubled the deficit from George Bush, who also doubled the deficit in his period of time with all the other presidents in our history, Jim? Remember that talking point, right?
Yes. I mean, that was insanity, because we got nothing back from the $10 trillion that Obama spent. Nope. Show me where a road was repaved or a bridge was rebuilt. I mean, Biden's out there right now talking about rebuilding the infrastructure of the country. We spent $10 trillion and we did nothing with it.
Jim, we've been talking about our infrastructure since I was in diapers. And that's not just 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm going to tell you this, our infrastructure is starting to look like a third world country.
It's terrible. And in the biggest states with the highest taxes is where it's worst. Because New York is looking for a $50 billion bailout from this coronavirus. California wants like $35, $36 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
And these states have the highest property taxes, the highest gasoline taxes, the highest sales taxes. And you always wonder, where does the money go? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the businesses that are leaving these cities from COVID-19, not necessarily the riots, but throw the riots on top of that, it's accelerating the pace. And people are getting out because they don't feel safe.
That's right.
And not only are they just getting out of the city and moving to the suburb, they're getting out of the states. They figure if they have to move, well, why don't we move to one of the states that has no income tax or has lower sales tax or has homes that cost half or a third of what they do in California or New York. Mm-hmm. It's intelligent decision making.
Yeah.
And people that are
lack
running
of.
Cities and states are they're just off the wall. I don't know where they get their economics.
Well, that's what it's hard for someone like you and I, because we're rational thinking, and most people out there listening probably would be like us, Jim. So most of us that are common sense and love our nation and love our lives and love our family, friends, and others and are in the good camp, we can't rationalize any of this. We can't put our minds around it. And we bang our head against the wall wondering why, how. And you see, our country is being stolen from us right in daylight. I mean, right in the middle of the day here, our nation is being stolen from us. I mean, the wake-up call here, I just want to plead with you all out there. We have got to fulfill this mission here. It is so vital. I mean, every piece of my being, every part of my DNA tells me how badly we are positioned right now for the future of our nation. I mean, I'm scared for our country. I'm concerned for our people. And it really is, it's so accurate and so important and so dramatic, this information. It is vitally important we get this out to everybody here. We'll dive into all of these numbers and lay out the case just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Joining you back here on The Voice of a Nation. And I have Jim McCabe with me, and we're looking at, and now I want to turn and get into the hard facts and data. Now, I need you to follow all this now, people, because we're going to throw some stuff at you here. As of the latter part of July of 2020, no matter when you're hearing this, whether it's on talk radio or podcast, okay, that I think that, you know, it's important to say we're charting about 150,000 deaths roughly here, in rough numbers here. And you point out that that's a death rate of 0.044%. Let's take it from there and explain to where those numbers, because the death per 100,000 population, we're not getting the accurate information out there. Let's talk about that death rate, please.
Most of what we see on death rate on TV, on the news, mm-hmm. is a death rate considered for a local population, say California or Arizona or Texas. They only look at the population of the number of cases, the number of dead. They don't even give us the survivors, the people that recover in most of their presentations. And they calculate the death rate based upon that. Well, the death rate for any other disease that that happens anywhere in the country or the world, you look at the total population of the state or the country, how many people died over a period of time from what illness. And that number is much lower. And it makes good sense because of two things. One, if you look at US cases of, like we're saying, about 4.5 million cases and 150,000 people dead, well, they only show 1.3 million people recovered. So somewhere there's about 3 million people, give a few hundred thousand one way or another, that are missing from their numbers. So to me, okay, 3 million people, you lose the data on them and you don't know whether they're dead or alive or they've had the virus or not.
No, they're just losing the data or they're just not reporting it.
They have it in CDC and right, buried into their charts and things, mm-hmm, and all. But the media, who is, you know, advertising, selling, promoting this virus and causing our country to be open one minute and closed the next for political reasons, I truly believe. The data shows there was a little surge for a couple days there, and now it's back below what it was when the surge started about the 4th of July. But they're not going to report that. They're just going to just throw it out there. And you know, they don't care whether, you know, 3 million people are missing from their data.
Well, when's the last time you picked up an online paper or a paper in your hands or some news bulletin and you said, oh, wow, there's some really terrific, fabulous news about COVID today? I mean, it just doesn't happen, Jim.
No, they use cases as their moniker, their advertised number. And the reason they do that is Fauci, when he set up this 1-2-3 phase approach to opening up the country, said, right, well, we have to have declining cases over a 2-week period, 14 days, and then we move to the next stage, and we move to the next stage. And we also have to have some of these hospital availability numbers and things like that thrown in to be able to open the country up. Well, if you're testing 25 times as many people today is from about the 1st of May, I mean, you're testing, we've tested 52 million people, and most of that's come in the last 6 weeks. We're testing almost a million people a day right now. And yet the media keeps screaming and the Democrats keep screaming, we're not testing enough. And you have to wait in line. Sure, everybody wants to get tested. Well, two facts. Testing doesn't cure anybody. And testing, you could be tested today, you could be exposed tomorrow, and you could be positive.
Well, when you say everybody wants to be tested, I don't want to be tested.
No, but see, they're selling this whole idea that if you're tested and you're negative, you're invulnerable. Well, actually, if you're tested and you're positive and you have and you're asymptomatic, mm-hmm, you're more invulnerable than if you're negative, folks, because you're now going to have some antibodies.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. And there's a measurement from CDC called a serology test indicator, mm-hmm, where they go out and they test and look for how many people in the population have antibodies. Mm-hmm. And they're doing this when they're actually testing people for the disease. And they're finding a high number of people, actually 12 times higher than they expected to find, that have had the virus. They have now developed antibodies. They were asymptomatic when they had the virus. They never went near an emergency room or a hospital with it. And that number is 12 times higher than what the experts had predicted. And so that's really good, because that means we're going to build a herd immunity out of this thing eventually.
Yeah, I've said that from the beginning, and nobody was understanding the herd immunity that was so important. In fact, I spoke with that at length, Jim, as you know, with Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet, as an MD, about this herd immunity. In other words, by locking everybody up into their businesses, homes, and walls, and not getting out there and living life, we really didn't accomplish that, did we?
No, not at all. And we ignored the most vulnerable people, those people that had...
Those are the ones who should have been quarantined.
Exactly. They should have been treated with kid gloves.
We should have saved our... Right. Secure our elderly, secure people who are sick or who are in a position to possibly contract the disease. Those are the ones we should have saved. But that wasn't the case, Jim.
No, not at all. And one of the reasons they didn't do that is the experts never told the public what was the nature of the disease, really. Mm-hmm. They said, well, it's not flu, it's more severe, and so on and so forth. This virus attacks the immune system first.
Yep.
It has a component of HIV in the virus string. And anybody says that's naturally occurring is nuts. Totally, it doesn't happen. It's a SARS virus, it's an HIV. So the HIV goes in and attacks the immune system. That's why it's so hard for elderly people or people with comorbidity factors to survive. Because it weakens the immune system to the point where the SARS virus goes in and starts attacking the organs of the body and kills them off.
Yeah, in layman's terms, what this really means is really simple, people, is that if you've taken care of yourself lifestyle-wise or your immune system, in other words, this is so vital. I mean, it's what protects us for life. It's the difference between life and death, actually, is your immunity system, because it makes you more immune to diseases and problems and viruses and other situations, challenges that might hit you in your life. So this immunity is so vital. And for those who are more at risk, Jim, who have ailments, diseases, problems, and it could be anything. It could be a bad case of diabetes. It could be a bad situation with high blood pressure. It could be people who are tremendously overweight, things of that nature where your immune system could be compromised. Is that correct?
That's totally correct, yes, because once it can defeat the immune system, it becomes so destructive so quickly. Exactly. Because it not only does, like, if you get the flu, normal flu, your immune system is intact because it's attacking the respiratory system. It's not attacking the immune system.
Right.
So you recover from the flu in about 2 weeks. You feel miserable while you have it, but you're going to recover. What this does, it destroys the immune system. So not only are you open to the SARS, but you're open to pneumonias.
Everything.
Open to everything and everything. Anything out there.
Everything, anything and everything. And that's why this is, Jim, such an important wake-up call and a lesson for all of us. You know, I talk all the time, you know, you hear me, Jim, and I talk about lifestyle, right? You hear me talk about the quality of life, because I care about people passionately, and I want them to have the best quality life that they could possibly have. And so I always say, take care of yourself, do these things and condition yourself. And it is vitally important. Without our health, we don't. But so what's happening here is, bottom line is that for those that are more susceptible to problems, whatever it may be, or if you have a weakened immunity system because you're much, much older, and some people that are older, Jim, still have a quality of life. They're not even going to be a problem with this because their immune system is solid. You know, there are people like that. I've got friends like that who are in the 80s and 90s who are unbelievable. We have some on the platform here like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They have immune systems like a 30-year-old is what I'm saying. So it's not always just because you have you're older. You know what I mean, Jim? It really depends upon the condition of your system itself. But this is vital. Those are the people who should have been quarantined, the people who are sick, the people who are susceptible, the people that are much, much older who are concerned for their health and well-being. You don't lock up a whole population. That's nuts.
Well, you know, in New York, they put those people back into the nursing homes. They put the sick people with COVID-19 back into the nursing home with the most susceptible population. And that's why New York had a death rate for the state of 7.75%. And for the city of New York, it was over 10%. Now, the thing that, you know, we're talking about these hotspots.
And what is it normally nationally? What are you talking?
Nationally, it varies from about 1.3 to about 1.6%.
So listen to what we're saying here. Now, and you New Yorkers that are listening, listen to what Jim is just saying. Now, you want to take this very simply. You want to talk about bad leadership, bad governing, bad whatever, whether it's the mayor, the governor, all of those people are responsible. But you take New York as a classic case, Jim. What you're talking about with the numbers you just delivered, you know what I get out of that? What's happened in New York is criminal.
Totally, totally what they did. And it wasn't just the 6,000 people, the elderly that died in nursing homes. New York State had about 54,000 dead people. They had a third of the total deaths in the country, and they have 5% of the country's population.
I mean, it is the numbers don't lie again. You hear the death rates that are up in the 7, 10, 12% range in New York, and nationally they're at 1% or less. I mean, that tells you everything, Jim.
You know, completely. I mean, even if you look at the surge data, and they're talking the surge started about, the middle of June. And the CDC has a tracker, and, you know, they're all talking about the hospitals are overloaded. There's so many people crashing the doors, they don't have any room. Well, the hospitals normally operate the environment at 85% occupancies.
That's right.
And most of what was going on in the hospitals between the middle of May and the middle of June was elective surgeries. They were getting
people
back
were getting back. Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was a surge. Well, the CDC has this indicator of what they call COVID-like illnesses, shortness of breath, pneumonia, and influenza, like illnesses. And the very thing that's interesting about it is, if you look at it for all states, or let's just take a look at it for just for a minute for like Arizona. In Arizona was going along really happy with the measurement that they call the corona-like illnesses or COVID-19 diagnostic codes at about a rate of 7 to 8%. And this is in late May. And all of a sudden, it spiked up to 15% for a period of 2 weeks. And starting July 5th, it started falling and falling like a rock. It's now down to about 4%. And these are people that are going into the emergency room. So 4% of all emergency room visits in the state of Arizona today have something to do with corona-like illness or COVID-19.
Yeah.
At the same time, they measure pneumonia. Well, pneumonia is about 3% of emergency room visits. Not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
And then you have shortness of breath. And a lot of shortness of breath, if people are scared to death of things and they think they might be having the virus and they go in, and the result is they actually only are, you know, hyperventilating or doing something else like that. That is double the rate for the coronavirus visits to the emergency room. It's about 8.1, 8.2%. And this is just in Arizona. Arizona is kind of the worst case of the spike or the surge that they're calling.
Right.
In every state you look at, in whether it's Florida or California, Florida had a spike where they went up from about 4.5, 5% almost to just a little over 8%. And they're back down to 3% in terms of these corona.
Right. So there are a couple of problems here, Jim, and they're in things that people need to be completely aware of. And one of the points that I talked about steadily, but people really truly need to understand, is the death rate versus the case rate that Jim is talking about, the number of deaths, the number of cases versus the population, right, Jim, which is where Fauci got it wrong initially. So understand what we're talking about here now. Every ailment, every problem, even a sniffling nose, anything you went into the hospital or the doctor for that was being part of this statistic, that became a statistic, what's happened is, in any death, for any reason, I mean, whatever it was, the heart, cancer, I mean, these things don't stop. Life and death is a very much a part of life and death, people. That's never going to stop. We don't have less heart and less cancer and less stats just because there's a virus. Those things are still going to happen. And when you historically look back at this chapter of time, you're going to find that cancer and heart, we did not solve those or cure those, Jim, in that 6-month period of time. You understand? We didn't solve those. But yet the stats are going to show, because most of those deaths, Jim, have all been put into COVID deaths. They've all been related to COVID. Now, then you say, I started telling you months ago, they're stacking the deck on the amount of deaths. because they're putting everything in there in the kitchen sink into a death of cooking. In other words, they're blaming everything on the virus. But there are a lot of reasons why, because they get paid accordingly. Money was a factor, Jim. Money, they had an incentive to do that. There was a financial incentive and a political incentive. You understand? You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, anytime somebody went on a ventilator, the hospital picked up an extra $33,000.
There it is.
From the government.
Think about that, people. Just let's slow down. Think about what Jim says there. I mean, just think about that. And you tell me the hospital is going to code that the other way, Jim. Not in a hot second.
It's not happening. And New York City, you know, they built a 2,800 bed hospital in the Javits Convention Center. Then they brought in the 1,000 bed hospital ship, and they didn't use them, but they did use 600 medical personnel off the hospital ship in New York City hospitals, and that was another financial scheme.
And they used the nursing homes.
And if you took a patient and you put them on the hospital ship or in Javits, the federal government picked up the tab, and New York City didn't get any revenue from it.
See, there it
is. If you had that 600 doctors working free in New York City hospitals and you stuffed all the patients in there, New York City got a double banger on it. They got medical people for free, and they got all these people on ventilators.
It's important people get this, man. This is so vital what Jim and I are talking about here with the numbers, people. I mean, the thing is, just understand here in these economic times, there's an incentive. The incentive for the medical industry and the hospitals to chart that particular life this way produced a lot of revenue for the facility. And they probably wanted and needed the revenue. Understand that. But all that tainted all of this information, because everything's being tackled and treated as what we're talking about. It's all being COVID related. It's not COVID related. Well, that made the numbers even scarier than what they ever were. And even those crazy numbers of targeting everything they could possibly target toward COVID, my friends, it still came nowhere near the stratosphere of what they reported, that we'd have at least a couple of million people dead, could be upwards of 20 million. This is going to be a national, catastrophe, pandemic that was going to totally wipe us out. I mean, that's what we were hearing for months and months and months, and that's why we had to crack down and close the local dog park down and the gym and the whatever, the local lounge that you might meet somebody in. It was insanity. I mean, think about the way they're measuring all this with the deaths. I mean, how do they get away with it, you have to ask yourself. And then the problem is, none of this is reported. And back to what we were just talking about with the media, their incentive is political, obviously. They don't report any of the truths. None of this stuff is put out there in the light of day. It's all bad information when the death rate is really, really low. And in comparison to things like even the everyday stuff that some people like smoking and what it does to, when you look at the numbers there and the things we could die from and do die from every day, where people succumb and they lose their life for different reasons, the percentage of those things and the way they hit our people and our nation in comparison to COVID, my friends, if we put the same context of how we're treating COVID, and if we did that for these other diseases and ailments and lifestyle products, we would have locked our country down decades ago when we figured that out. We would have been locked down and put in boxes a long, long time ago. Think about it in those terms. There'd be nothing left. And so then when you look at these numbers again, and I want Jim in a moment, we'll talk about some of those big numbers and this whole notion of, oh, there's a second wave or a new surge, and how that surge is being counted. And again, the media corruptness for all of those months. You remember, nobody had any procedures done in the hospital. Remember, everything was called off. I mean, even if you needed a root canal or some emergency, I mean, you were in trouble. If you got sick at the wrong time, and some of you out there know what I'm talking about because you experienced this, but if you got sick at the wrong time, and at the moment of that lockdown that went on for a good 2.5 months, it was a solid lockdown, nobody was moving or doing anything. We're like rats stuffed in cages. And all that was happening. And you got sick, you had to put it off, suck it up, or deal with it. The hospitals weren't taking patients unless it was COVID related. It was pretty dramatic, if I can remind you. It was pretty dramatic, people. Only the COVID, because that was the national catastrophe that was going to bring us to our knees. And then what happened is when things started opening up again, or this reopening, supposedly that was going to happen, that they've tried to nix and you're seeing now. What happened then? People, they opened up for elective surgeries and other surgeries and needed surgeries and things that were important. And all of those went into the numbers. Well, then what they did in the media, they took all those numbers and said, oh my God, there's a surge. Oh my God, the hospitals are full. Oh my God, we're having a problem here. Oh my God, there's a second surge, Marge. What are we going to do? And the media never reports any of this. People are left at home to figure out, oh my God, the pandemic is going to kill us again. Oh, what are we going to do about it?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
And Jim McKay joins me back here as we dive into the numbers and talk about, and this read, by the way, go read the full op-ed, COVID-19, an American crisis, pandemic by the numbers. This will be one of the most read pieces of the month, I am positive, because the information in here is vitally important. Jim, I want to take on something as simple as smoking. Smoking is still a problem. The young people in Generation Z, a lot of them are still smoking. People think it looks cool. Even though we've learned a lot over the last 50 years about the dangers of smoking, it's still happening. But when we look at the comparisons of smoking and people who die from that, put that into simple context for us, please, so people understand that smoking itself is a pandemic if you look at the numbers and compare to COVID.
It truly is. Last year, the data for 2019 from CDC, from the medical community connected in getting all these numbers together, 480,000 people that are smokers died from smoking. Not something else, but smoking in per se itself, and disease related to the lungs. Mm-hmm. Not cancer, but smoking, emphysema, cutting it off.
And another 40,000 died from secondhand smoke.
From secondhand smoke. And primarily those are in office buildings, apartment buildings, where you have a singularity of ventilation systems. So if people are indoors smoking. And the interesting part about this is smoking is down about 70% in the United States in the last 20 years.
Wow.
So can you imagine what it was 10 years ago?
Oh, my God. It's a wonder we didn't lock everybody up then, Jim.
Over a million people a year easily died from smoking.
Mm, so we've gotten better at it. But put that in context, the death rate to COVID.
It's three times as high. Even at the worst case that we're in right now, if we say we're going to have 500,000 people dead, it doesn't catch up with what smoking's doing. I mean, we have 150,000 people dead, which is less than a third of what you have from 1 year of smoking deaths. And I contend that the whole reason that people are still allowed to smoke is governments get tax money from it. I mean, they're taxing cigarettes a dollar a pack and more, and both federally and states and locales.
You've got here scientifically the death rate. When you look at the population, and I think you're saying look at the population, not the cases, the death rate would be 0.044. Is that correct?
Right.
So understand, people, when you look at our population, which is about 300, and you put it at about 335, correct? 335 million, right? Roughly. On any given day, it ranges around that 330 mark. So that death rate, compared to the population of the pound of people with COVID, 0.044. Does everybody understand what we're talking about? Please, raise your hand if you don't. I see you out there, right? Okay, so you got that, Jim, okay? All right? Now let's move forward and talk about the smoking bit. Now, Jim says, well, what's the death rate of that? And it's staggering what he's saying. That was unbelievable. I mean, we, even as good as we've gotten as a nation to educate people on the dangers of smoking, and we're doing far better, you're saying. We used to have 1 million people die. Now it's 500,000. But the death rate is still 0.155%, nearly four times as great. And this has been going on for years, and nobody says a thing. There's no pandemic here. There's no lockdown. There's no, as people kill themselves. What's up, Jim? What's going on?
It's just what I call negligent healthcare, negligent government. Every time you have an incentive out there for somehow the government can get money from something, they're not going to back away from.
You're saying because of the incentives and the what they, just like gas, the money they charge for taxes. So they're not telling you with the smoking that you don't see any big campaigns out there saying how bad it is from you, from the government or the Surgeon General.
Very, very little on television anymore. You know, you have the little warning on the side of the pack that says something like Surgeon General's determine that smoking is, bad for your health, right?
But does increase our financial coffers here, so please go ahead and smoke. Maybe that's, we should change that warning up, Jim, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
We understand smoking is dangerous for your health, but you do help us out financially in Washington, so please light up.
Everybody doesn't want to confuse or even compare COVID to the regular SARS virus, okay? Or COVID 11, 12, 13, 14, all the different COVID flu viruses that come out every year. But we have 35,000 people a year, year in and year out, on average die from just the normal household flu. We've had years of 75,000 people die from the flu. And yet, we develop a vaccine and lo and behold, only about 30% effective. A lot of people don't even bother getting it because it's, pretty useless at this point. And we've become accustomed to it. And it goes on and on. Rather than getting to the root of what's causing this virus, where is it coming from? And there's such discussions of, this came from a fish market, it came from a wet market, it came from bats in a cave on COVID-19. Viruses come from mammals that are basically scavengers of different types. And if you don't eradicate the source, you're going to continue to have viruses. To me, I would go find that cave in China and with some flamethrowers and kill off every single bat. And I'd go back month after month until they're all gone. That's the only way you're going to eliminate viruses. China, when we were having a little bit of discussions with them a few months ago, and they weren't too happy about the trade deal, they were saying to President Trump, well, we have a COVID 20 and we have a COVID 21 and maybe some other ones that might be coming your way. This is insanity is what this is. This whole thing's being treated and the whole way it's being communicated to the population. Yeah. And I say that because if you look across the entire United States, the incidence of death rate from COVID-19 is about 1.3% of the population. That is lower than at least 8 or 10 other causes of death. And we shut down the whole country.
Mm.
More people are dying from suicides in some places than they are from COVID. And to say that we have to have a national policy, I mean, Pelosi's up there and saying it's President Trump's fault because we don't have a national policy on wearing masks or anything. Well, give you an idea. Montana has a total of 47 people dead in the entire state. They had a surge, they were calling Montana, the last couple of weeks, and this is
a surge. What when it went up to 51?
Well, it went up by one. It went up from 47 to 48.
Dear heavens!
And it, you know, but if you take that as a percentage, that's a 2% increase.
Right.
Okay.
And the media headline was that's a surge in Montana.
Yes, a surge in Montana because the same 2% increase in a state like Florida, where you had 400 new cases in a day or 1,000 cases in a day, was still 1.3% of the population. But Florida has, you know, what, 28 or 29 million people in the state? Yeah. And Montana has, what, maybe 200,000 or 300,000?
So you cannot have one national policy fits all. It does not work, period.
It doesn't work.
And of course it can't, because you look at our nation, it's a very diversified and geographically unique nation. And there are people in all different areas and the different lifestyles and different ways they live life. And which really, Jim, is why we get the whole blue state, red state thing too. Blue states seem to have one way of operating. Red states seem to have another. We've never seen anything like this before. And as we now see with other ailments and diseases, Jim, or accidents or other type of life events, you know, what's happening now is, you know, none of that is being taken into consideration, but yet we're doing a complete mental breakdown. That's what I would look at it, Jim, is our country. You know, I think that I would say that confidently to you, actually, you know that, you know, you sometimes hear in people that have a mental breakdown because they get to the breaking point of their life. I actually believe that the United States of America is having a mental breakdown right this very moment, Jim.
I think we've lost our minds. The media is contributing to that. I mean, when you get the same story 24 hours a day, on multiple channels on network TV, then you go over to cable and you get the same thing, and then it's in the print media, and it's just insane that they're putting out this information that is so bogus. I think that what's happening in the country today is two things. We have so much going on that's politically motivated, that's enhanced by the media for sensationalism and for political purposes. We really need to get a grip on ourselves. We need to open the country. We need to get back to normalized lifestyles. We cannot afford to put out trillions and trillions of dollars to people that aren't working because they will not go back to work. Thousands and thousands of businesses have closed, and it's not going to get any better. We are on the path for an apocalyptic type collapse financially and economically if this goes on.
Yeah. Jim McKay there, apocalyptic collapse would be, I think, an accurate statement. As I said, almost a mental breakdown for our nation. It is up to you and I out there to fix this. We are the answer. We are the remedy for all that ails us, people. It is American ingenuity and might and the beautiful people out here from sea to shining sea who make up our great nation. It is way past time, people, that we take control of the wheel, please. We are in it's an out of control boat that is running across the sea and nobody is at the wheel. It is time for we the people to grab the wheel and control the ride forward. You must hear what I say, because you cannot rely on politicians to do this. And Washington is busted broken. President Trump is doing all he can to try to fix this business, but he is one man in an oasis of nonsense and corruptness and deceit beyond anything we could imagine. Our country is struggling and suffering with a nervous breakdown. That is the best way I can say it to you. You look at all these facts, you look at all the data, and there is absolutely zero reason why we should be anywhere close to anywhere where we are right now. We should be open for business 100%, and every hour that goes by, every hour of every day and every day of every week and every week of every month that goes by, more businesses are locking and closing down and leaving their paradise because they simply cannot afford it. And the politicians stay up there in Washington and they want to discuss how many more trillion can they throw at this problem, keep people locked up and put away. And then you say the stakes, why are the stakes this way? Why is it so bad? Well, I guess when you want to control things and greed and avarice is your motivation, I guess that would say why things are so bad. When they don't really care about the future of the nation truly, and they care more about that moment of the power. It's about the power they seek, they wish to have. They'll take it, steal it by hook or by crook. It's what they want. And the rest of it is all just, you know, it's all collateral damage, people, collateral damage. It really is. We're looking at a lot of collateral damage. In fact, as the patient, America, continues to struggle with this nervous / mental breakdown, is what's taking place here. The numbers are what they are. You see the proof now. You see what's happening. We need to take control of the situation. Let's drive this message out there. Let's get people engaged at every level. All hands on deck, please. The weeks are going by quickly now before your vote. All hands on deck. Thank you for being with me here on the mission. The mission continues, people. Back at AmericaOutLoud.com. It's time to get involved and get loud.